John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I just want to spend a few moments just thinking about that passage. I don't know about you, but I really, really enjoy and appreciate the various resurrection accounts that we find at the end of all four Gospels. As I read them, I realize the disciples are just so human, aren't they? Their reactions are so normal. They are so believable. They were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead, even though Jesus had repeatedly and plainly told him that that's what he would do. When the women went to the tomb, it was not to see if Jesus had risen, but to prepare his body for a proper burial. Mary Magdalene had only one thought: someone had moved the body. The report of the women that Jesus had risen seemed nonsense to the disciples. When the two from Emmaus told the 11 that Jesus had appeared to them, they did not believe them. Peter reported that Jesus had appeared to him, but they still did not believe. Jesus had repeatedly foretold it. Angels announced it. The tomb was empty. Mary had seen him. The other women had seen him. Cleopas and his other companion had seen him. Peter had seen him. But still, the group did not believe. It was just too incredible for them. But then, that night, Jesus appears to them all. Then they thought he was a ghost. So he reproached them for their unwillingness and their slowness to believe. And then he offered them concrete evidence. "Here, see my hands, see my side, see my feet." Those who would be the first to proclaim the truth of Jesus's resurrection were themselves slow to believe, totally unprepared to believe it. Some determined not to believe it. "I will not believe it unless I," Thomas said. But ultimately they came to believe it. And they then spent the rest of their lives, they dedicated the rest of their lives, even giving up their lives, to proclaim it to anyone and everyone who would listen. Surely this renders unsustainable any suggestion that the account of the resurrection was born out of lies or embarrassment or disappointment or wishful thinking or delusion. Surely there can be no other explanation for this other than these women and men really did witness the risen Jesus personally. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, and the story is still being received, and it's still being passed on by ordinary, imperfect people like me and you. We too have encountered the living Christ by his Spirit, for he is still alive and is still active in the world. We too have come to believe that Jesus died, but also that he rose again. Hallelujah. No other explanation makes sense. So we too have put our faith in Jesus. And just like the disciples back then, when we put our faith in Jesus, our lives are changed. When we put our faith in Jesus, in the living Jesus, we receive hope. Verse 19 of our reading makes it clear that the disciples were not in a good place. The doors had been locked because they were terrified of being rounded up and taken to the courts and imprisoned, possibly even killed. But when they recognized Jesus in verse 20, it says they were overjoyed. Peter, one of those, later wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So often when we say we're hoping for something, our languages express uncertainty. I hope it's going to be a nice day. I hope Auntie Ethel makes it home okay. I hope this and I hope that. But resurrection hope is different. Resurrection hope is a living hope. It is confident that what is hoped for will happen. Living hope is this. Living hope is that our sins can be forgiven, are forgiven. Our life has new purpose. That we have eternal life. That God's word is true and trustworthy. That one day Jesus will return. And that one day the whole of creation will be set free from bondage and death and decay. This is our hope. This is our living hope. This hope is our present possession. It is true right here, right now. Hallelujah. And when we put our faith in the living Jesus, we receive new life and new purpose. In verse 21, Jesus gives the disciples a fresh start. He says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And in verse 22, we read that Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon them. The same breath that brought creation into being right at the very beginning now recreates and brings to them and to each one of us new life. Up to this point, the disciples must have been carrying a deep sense of regret, of guilt and shame. But when they see him and they believe in him, the sorrow, the guilt, the fear, the embarrassment, the anguish, they're all dispersed and they are filled with joy and with new life and new power. Through his resurrection, Jesus offers new life and new power for living to each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life, will breathe life into your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit who dwells in you." Life, abundant life, life in all its fullness is a very important theme in John's Gospel. At the very end of this chapter, chapter 20, John explains, "Jesus did many other things, but the reason I have written these things down is so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life, life in his name." And life, this life, is not just about eternal life. though it is about that. But it is also about life in the present, in the here and now, our lives today. The resurrection of Jesus is good news for the future. It gives us hope. But the resurrection of Jesus is good news for you and I today and for the world today. When we receive Jesus, we receive life which can be free from fear and characterized by joy. We can receive life free from guilt and characterized by love. Life free from anxiety and characterized by peace. Life free from hopelessness and characterized by hope. Life free from captivity to sin, characterized by freedom. Jesus came and died and rose again that we might have hope, and that hope we might experience here and now, in this present day, in this day when we are isolated from one another, when we've been separated from each other, when we've been told to keep our distance from each other, when we face suffering and hurt and pain and even death. Jesus came that in those moments, we might still have hope and we might experience fullness of life. The death of Jesus plus resurrection equals hope. The death of Jesus plus his resurrection equals life, and so many other things beside. No wonder when writing to the Corinthian church about the resurrection of Jesus, Paul writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."